exalt him. Hallelujah. Glory. Give me just a few minutes. Really, just a few. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. There's a few more passages that I want to look at in there if we get there. This is just something that's reigning and ruling in my spirit, and I want to get it to you. And when the Spirit of God says enough, then we move on. Hallelujah. It's not just a cliche. It's not just a statement. As a matter of fact, go to, you can put your finger there, but go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, and then we're going to look at Luke chapter 11 as well. And this deals with to the victor belongs the spoil. I started sharing that Wednesday night. And it's not just, like I said, a cliche. I just believe that the Spirit of God is saying, we know this, but we have to live in it and walk in it. We are victorious. Hallelujah. We are. There's no use in walking around like we're defeated. Like, woe is me. Carrying a sad and sorrowful look on our face. I know stuff happens. Stuff happens to all of us. But, you know, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. He causes us to triumph. And in that, we just continue to emerge victorious. We just look at, well, praise God. We might be in the pit now, but we're on our way to the palace. At least that's what happened in Scripture. So if it happened in the Word of God, it ought to happen in our lives too. Some of us have been in a place for a long time, and we're even tired of being in that place. But just in your tiredness, don't become so weary that you give up and give over to that place. Because that place is not your permanent residence. It's not what God ordained for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise his holy name. In Matthew chapter 11, the Word of God says, I said chapter 12, didn't I? So let me stay with that. This particular software, it has Hebrew and Greek, and I can just be all day with this. But for sake of time. And then it's so sensitive. My fingers, they have a tendency to do certain things. And have a way of interfering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at verse 25. And if you're there, say amen. If it's on the board, I get to play with my toy. Hallelujah. Every kingdom, Jesus said. And Jesus knew their thoughts. That's one thing that's just, praise God. This is why you have to be transparent, honest with God. Never think that you can get away with anything with him. It's not a scare tactic. But it is a living reality that he knows all things, sees all things. So never try to intentionally hide stuff from him, or think that he doesn't see what's going on, because he sees everything. He's everywhere at all times, and he even knows our thoughts. The psalmist says he knows our thoughts afar off. In other words, before they even get to us, God knows what those thoughts are. And then when they come and we start thinking them, let us not think that he don't know about them, because he does know. Jesus perceived the thoughts of the people. He knew what was in their hearts. And that's why he was the way he was with them, because he knew what was in the heart of man. When they tried to praise him and establish him as, you know, their king and wanted him to reign and rule at that time, he's like, no, he moved on to another city. He just continued to fulfill the will of the Father. And even with us, God knows the very thoughts. So it's best to be transparent with him, be honest with him, be quick to repent of any ill thought that may come your way or any deed or act that you have done. Be quick to repent. Don't have that kind of sorrow, that worldly sorrow that, oh, I'm sorry I got caught. Because we think that we only get caught when we get caught. But we're caught before we're caught in God. Does that make sense? In other words, even before the thing happens, we're already caught. So if we repent at that stage, it won't even come forth. And it's something that we can just preserve ourselves from a lot of heartache and pain. But he knew the very thoughts of the people. And he said unto them, every kingdom. Kingdom comprised of two words, a king and dominion, or domain, if you will. So where you have a kingdom, you have a domain, a land, a particular area, and that land is under the rulership of the king. Whoever that king may be, they rule over that particular place. And Jesus says, every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation or destruction. So this is the danger. This is the potential of strife and contention and division itself. It can desolate or destroy what you're trying to accomplish. When you're trying to do something, you don't need disagreement. You don't need argument. You don't need debate. You need agreement. You need unity. You need oneness. It was back there in the beginning, even after man had fallen. And God said in Genesis chapter 11, I believe it is, God says, because the people's hearts are one, nothing will be impossible for them. Mind you, at that time, the mindset was, let us build a tower at Babel. Babel means confusion. Let us build a tower and let us build it up to the sky. And their mindset was, so if the Lord decides to flood the earth out again, we won't get flooded out. God saw what was in their heart. He knew what was in their heart. He knew what was in their mind. And God came down. Let us go down. Let us go down like that us in the who will go for us we were talking about last week. Let us go down and see what they're doing. And then God said, because they're one, nothing will be impossible for them to accomplish. That's the power of unity. And when you have unity, you have power. And that power is to accomplish or achieve a certain thing that has brought everybody together on one page. So Jesus says, every kingdom that is divided against itself or separated, if you will, let me do this, to apportion, that word divided, to part, that is to apportion, to bestow, to share, to disunite, to differ. Let those words not just, you know, float in the air, but take it to heart. Because people will come at you and they will start sharing things with you. Sometimes they want to persuade you to come with them. And the thing of it is, you have to know what the will of God is concerning you. And just because God tells them something don't mean that he's told you something. But the enemy, the devil, loves to work through disunity. Now we have the promise of unity in Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 133, where it talks about it's like the oil. Oh, how beautiful and how lovely, something like that. For brethren to dwell together in unity, it's like the oil. In other words, he said, that's how the anointing works, man. The anointing works in the spirit of unity. And so he says, it's like the oil that flows down upon Aaron's head and then down his beard and to his garments. And it says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. So Satan loves to create disunity, division, strife, contention. You know what the Bible says about, okay, This is not a slam on relationships. But, you know, the Bible does say it's better for a man to sleep on top of a roof than to be in the house with a contentious woman. I'm being funny by doing all of that, but I'm bold in saying it. It is better to be on the housetop, a rooftop, than to be in the house with a contentious woman. Well, you don't have to just look at a contentious woman. You can have a contentious man. You can have contentious people, people who like to contend. There is something that we must contend for, and that's earnestly contend for the faith that brings us into unity and to oneness. But not contending about this little thing and that little thing and all of these little things. The little foxes are the ones that spoil the fine. This is why people, it's not all the time, but majority of the time I'll say this. This is why you can see a scenario or situation where it looks good. For instance, down near Bakersfield, there's this area, there's this place. I forget the name of it exactly. But there's this husband and wife. They had a family. As far as the neighbors knew, everything was good. I mean, they were just, you know, it seemed like they were the perfect couple, almost by what they said in the article. And so here they are. It looked like on the surface, lovey-dovey. But inwardly, the wife had started working at this place. And at this place, she met this other guy. And so they became friends. And then in the process of becoming friends, they became intimate with each other. To the point where it got so strong that now the husband was in the way. This is my paraphrasing of the article. It was like the husband was in the way. So it's like, well, what are we going to do with the husband? And the wife says, well, one thing I know for sure, he is not going to want a divorce. And I pray nobody's related. And if you are, I don't mean any offense. If you are, you know the person, okay? I'm just sharing this. It's something that's public information. So they're like, well, he is not going to give me a divorce. He is not going to go for that. What are we going to do? So they start thinking of things that they're going to do to eliminate the husband because the husband is now in the way of this adulterous affair. So what they do is they consider poison. And so they order some poison. The guy has the poison delivered to his grandparents' house. He goes there. He gets the poison. They do a sample with the poison on a neighborhood noisy dog. And so what they did was they poisoned the dog. Brother Randy, don't get yourself in trouble, Brother Randy. Don't let this. We love Zoe. Brother Randy. So they did. They poisoned the dog. And they said they don't know whether the dog died or not, but they know that the noise left. So, you know, that's all they knew. And so they were going to, because the husband liked vanilla wafers. So they were going to put it in the, like a vanilla wafer pudding, a banana pudding or something like that, because that was one of his favorites. He liked the vanilla wafers. So anyways, they were going to do that. And then all of a sudden, she thought about it, and she's like, they might be able to trace this thing. So she called her husband up at work and said, honey, don't eat the vanilla wafers. Don't eat the pudding, because it didn't taste all that good. So he didn't. So what they did is they continued on in their affair. The guy gets a gun, goes to the husband's job, and kills the husband. I think it was on the job where he was killed. And so time went by. The guy, they arrested him. He was in jail for a couple of years. Finally, they arrested her at the time, but they couldn't find enough evidence against her, so they let her go. But now they recently decided that, yes, she was behind it. And so now both of them, she's going to be put away for life, and he will be put away for like maybe 16 years or something like that because of, are you with me? It's not just a story. I'm not just trying to tell you a story to entertain you or something. I'm trying to make a point. Okay. So anyways, the guy is now, I think he may do 16 years or something like that, and she could be in jail for the rest of her life, and she had kids. And one thing she did not want to do was lose her kids. That's just how bad things can be. So all it took was a little for the avenue, for the enemy to be able to get in and create that division in the house. And this is where it escalated to. The husband ends up being murdered. The boyfriend is in jail. And now she's in jail. And she doesn't even have the children that she wanted to keep. So Satan slithered in there and separated the unity of that man and that woman. He's very subtle, very crafty. And that's what he desires to do, get in there and cause strife, contention, division, breakdown. Now, all of the neighbors, this is the point that I was making, all of the neighbors were like shocked. We never would have known. They seemed so happy. They seemed so. And many times, this is why it's such a shock. Because you don't see the little foxes that are spoiling the vine. If it was a big thing, like one day, I'll just say Charlie came home and he just beat Sally to a pulp. I mean, he just came in and lit into her. He just beat her right in front of the kids. You would understand Sally saying, I'm divorcing this dude. I'm gone. You could relate to that. That's just blatant. But it was subtle things, hidden things. And that's how the enemy works in relationships. Subtle, hidden things that eventually bring about the division, which brings about the desolation. Anybody get anything from that? You have to be on top of things because unity, it costs everything that God wants of us. It's going to cost us. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Sin left the crimson stain, but he's washed it white as snow. I love that. Nevertheless, it's going to cost you. What is it going to cost me, Pastor? It's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you your feelings. It's going to cost you your emotions. It's going to cost you your thoughts, the way you think, because many times we don't think the way God thinks. We think along human terms. We think culturally. We think how we were raised up. And the thing of it is Jesus makes it plain. It is like unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To be born again, it's like just Nicodemus. Well, how can a man enter into his mother's womb? Can he enter into his mother's womb again? How are you going to be born again, Jesus? Marvel not that I tell you this. But nevertheless, the process is this. When you get saved, you become a newborn babe, which means babies, they have a brain. They have a mouth. They have hands. They have feet. They have all their components, a healthy baby. But can they get in that kitchen and cook? Can they take themselves in the bathroom and use the restroom? Can they put their clothes on? Why? They're just a baby. But eventually that baby will grow. And that baby will start clothing themselves, feeding themselves, walking and not crawling, running and doing things for themselves because they grow and they mature into a child and then they mature into a teenager, adolescent. They mature into an adult and then they conduct themselves as adults and not as little babies anymore. So it is in the spirit. And this is a thing that many wrestle with because the flesh hates God, hates the things of the spirit, does not want to obey God, only wants to resist God. Just like I said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, about God says, I have put enmity between you and between the woman and between your seed and her seed. I put deep-rooted hatred, hostility. That's why the church has got so many women today. They mad at the devil. Some of y'all catch up next week. The church is not for the devil. The church is of God. Yeah. And you're here to give birth to the purposes of God. We need the men to be those standard bearers to understand what their role and position is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God gave us the authority. Oh, ooh, man, it's just so much. Okay. So, division, Satan uses it. He uses it in the church. He uses it in relationships. He uses it in every segment of society. It wreaks havoc on anything that is possible to accomplish or to achieve. It not only happens in the church, it happens in businesses. This is why you can, okay, all of a sudden, who works for a company? Okay, many of you do. Okay, I'll just take you, Brother Finn. Okay, you work for, what's the name of the company, if you don't mind? We're not putting a plug in for them. A pair transit. Forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. Sometimes my hearing gets a little bit, but you know, hey, praise God. So when they hired you for that job, were you happy, sad, depressed, angry, bitter? Like, why did they call me? I don't want that job. Click. Or was it, oh, praise God, I got a job. It was, okay. And so here comes Mr. Finn. And Mr. Finn is coming on that first day of work, and he's happy. Praise God. You know, this is figuratively speaking, but it's like, you know, he's happy because he's employed. And he comes into that environment. And if it's a pleasant environment, it's like, oh, praise God, this is a job I've always wanted. But if he comes in there and there's a lot of chaos, confusion, and strife and contention, he still has a good attitude and mindset. But if he's not careful, he will be overcome by that very strife and contention rather than walking in what he comes in with. He comes in with joy. He comes in with happiness. He comes in with my opportunity. Bless God. And then all of a sudden, you get engaged in all of these conflicts. Oh, I hate that person. I hate that person. I hate the union. I hate the supervisors. You know, and all of these work against the success of the company. And mind you, it hinders that company. It hinders that business. Bad attitudes, bad habits, bad ways, they hinder the capability of a company. It'd be one thing if Jesus says, when you come to me, I'm giving you a bad habit. I'm giving you some bad emotions. I'm giving you some headaches, some heartaches, some pains. I'm making your life miserable. If he, you know, not too many people would come to Jesus. But the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We discover God's goodness, and that makes us want to come to him. Praise Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, if coming into the kingdom is full of strife and contention and division, and it's like, oh, wow, what's this? Jesus didn't ordain it for that. Did you hear me? Jesus didn't, he did not ordain the church to be like that, full of strife, contention. That's what happens out there in the world. And the reason it happens in the world, because the world operates under the influence of the spirit of disobedience. That very same spirit that used to rule in us, according to Ephesians chapter 2, that very spirit of disobedience used to reign and rule in our lives. But he got ejected, he got evicted, he got cast out in Jesus' name. And if you don't think you got delivered from some unclean spirits, let me burst your bubble. You got delivered from some unclean spirits that were in your house. That's what was keeping you away from God for so long. That's why you did some of the things that you did. That if it was to come across that screen, everybody would be out of here. Praise God. I'm almost done. I got 4 minutes. So, Satan is a master at creating strife, contention, and division. And Jesus says, every kingdom. Now, are we of a kingdom or not? We used to be of the kingdoms of this world, but now we are the kingdom of our Christ, of our God and our Christ. Now we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We're in this world, but we're no longer of it. We might be in a particular kingdom, but we're not of that kingdom. We're not subject to that kingdom, and that kingdom should have no influence on our lives to cause us to reflect that thing, because Jesus delivered us from that thing and brought us into a new thing in Christ. Paul says it in the book of Colossians. He says, you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. And so we've been delivered from one kingdom into another kingdom. And the thing about our kingdom is this kingdom cannot be shaken. The king cannot be uprooted, cast out, or destroyed. He cannot be, you know, he cannot be moved. He is king for all eternity. So we're a part of a living, unshakable kingdom. And our king shall always remain king. We don't have to worry about or be concerned about, well, Jesus reigned until now somebody else is on the throne. No, Jesus is on this throne for all eternity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we're in this kingdom. But it's a kingdom. Jesus said, every kingdom. Every kingdom. I thought you said it's an eternal kingdom. It is, but it's a kingdom. And Jesus says every kingdom will be brought to, that every kingdom that is divided against itself will be brought to desolation. So in the kingdom of God, Jesus does not allow disunity, strife, or contention. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is not going to allow something that would destroy his kingdom. He's not going to allow that in his kingdom. There once was, you got to understand, in the beginning, still got 2 minutes. There once was where Satan, who was Lucifer before he fell, used to have access. But it wasn't just access. He dwelt in the presence of God along with the third of host of angels that were cast out along with him. They were in the very presence of God. And when Satan, when rebellion was found in his heart, he was cast out and the third of the host of heaven were cast out along with him. God will not permit that in his kingdom. Why? Because it has the effects of destruction. God's kingdom is a living and unshakable kingdom. Now, how he reigns in heaven is how he wants us to reign on earth. And so if heaven won't permit it, we shouldn't permit it in earth. If heaven binds it, we should bind it here on earth. If it's not of the kingdom, it should not be a part of us. Does that make sense? This is why we abstain. Not because we're afraid we're going to get in trouble or, you know, it's like, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, if I do that, No, it's like, no, we don't sin because we're afraid to go to hell. We don't sin because we want to remain in right standing, in right relationship with God. We want his power to flow freely through us. He's given us new desires. So why should we partake of the old desires? The old desires are bondage. Why am I going to? I'm free now. That was the thing that Preacher Man was sharing with some of the guys last night. Because they were like, we ain't free. We ain't free. We free. Bless God. We as free as you could ever be. There is, Satan can't even put a noose around our neck unless we allow him to. We are free. Yeah, but you're no, we're not subject to any man. We're subject to God. And what he tells us to be subject to, we're subject to that. And if he says, don't subject yourself to that, we don't subject ourselves to that. If God says, don't do that, we don't do it. Why? Because we're not of the world anymore. That stuff is bondage. It will rip us off. It will keep us weak. It will cause us to fail in our mission for Jesus. And we don't want to fail. We don't know how long we're going to be on this earth, how long it's going to be before the Lord raptures the church. But while we're here, we're supposed to reign. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand here first, and then it's at hand in all the territory that we go in. When you go on that job, that space that they give you, it's kingdom space. Yeah. That's kingdom space. Anytime somebody violates that, they are subject to the king and what the king directs you to say to them. Amen. You stepped in, this is my space, which is God's space. You come and you engage me in a conversation, and then you think that because you're this way, that I'm not going to say anything about it when the kingdom tells me? I want you in the kingdom, but you can't come in the kingdom like that. You got to repent and get born again. And when you get born again, you'll see what I see. Oh, praise God. You'll know what I know. And you'll follow me as I follow Christ. I better stop. I'm 2 minutes over. It's not because I can't go any further, but for your sake, we got to reign. R-E-I-G-N. It's raining. Showers of blessings are flowing. But see, we're not going to go and corrupt these blessings by wasting them on wasteful, prodigal living. Who wants to do that anymore? Don't you see how the parable of the prodigal son, how paramount it is for us today? We're going to take our inheritance and then go and waste it on prodigal living? No, we're going to take our inheritance and enjoy kingdom living. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Y'all, I hope you got it. Take my blessing and reign like a king. Reign like a child of God. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all. It's good to see you, Sister Sandra. We got two Sandras in the house today. Welcome again. Amen. Hallelujah. I think we have two. I don't know if we have three. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your sons and daughters. Thank you for those that may be watching live stream. We bless them in Jesus' name. If anybody is watching live stream and you've not repented of your sins and given your life to Jesus Christ, we give you this opportunity right now. It's simple. All you have to do is ask the Father to forgive you. Repent of your sins. Ask him to blot out all of your transgressions. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior right there, right now. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll live inside of you. You'll receive the Spirit of Christ to dwell in you. And then he'll lead you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He'll give you a hunger and a thirst for him. As a newborn babe desires the milk, even so you as a newborn babe in Christ will desire the pure milk of God's word. He'll give you an appetite for him. Just receive him now. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Live inside of me. Make me a new creation. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, according to your word, according to my faith. I'm now saved. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you said that out of sincerity, out of a true and sincere heart, the Lord has reached out to save you right where you are. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Old things are passed away. Your old life, your old ways. All things are new and all things are of God. Now you got to grow. Learn what those things are that come from God. As a baby, you don't know anything. But you begin to learn. You begin to grow, and you begin to come responsible, same way in the kingdom. You know nothing when you come in, but by the grace of God, he gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and causes you to grow, to be a mature believer in Christ, a son of God or a daughter of God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for everyone that is here under the sound of my voice. I pray that you will minister to every need that is here in this house, that if they have not been met already, that right now you will exceed even their expectations. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. The Lord our God bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Cause you to be blessed and to give him glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be back here at the altar at 6 p.m. If there's anybody that needs prayer, please come on forward. Brother Ray and Sister Ashley, if you don't mind, if I could pray with you today at the altar. And if anyone else needs prayer, please do so. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us today. We love you so much. Amen. Hallelujah.